Please open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I trust there are sermon notes in your bulletin. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23 is our text today. Please stand with me as we read God's Word. Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 23. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Will you pray with me, please? This passage of Scripture is incredibly foundational and very important. As we continue in our series about the Holy Spirit, would you pray right now, just between you and God, no one else will hear you. Would you please pray right now that God would open your heart, soften your heart, remove Satan's blinders from your eyes. Pray that God would make you good soil for His Word, that His Holy Word would go down deep and bear fruit in your life 30, 60, and 100 fold. Would you pray right now for the other people in this room? That God would open their hearts, soften their hearts, remove Satan's blinders from their eyes, and make them good soil for His Word, that the Word of God would go down deep and bear fruit in their lives, 30, 60, and 100 fold. Now would you please briefly pray for me that I would preach this passage accurately and therefore powerfully. Heavenly Father, you've given your holy scriptures to edify your church. We pray that through your holy scriptures, your church would be built up today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? Walk is the Greek word peripateo, and often it's used in Scripture to literally mean walk, put one foot in front of the other. But in many verses, it means how you live your life,
how you live your life. If I walk by my parents' teaching, it means I live my life following their direction and guidance. If I walk by the Spirit, it means I follow the Holy Spirit's direction and guidance in my life. If I walk by the Spirit, it means I follow the Holy Spirit's direction and guidance in my life. This Greek word walk or peripateo is explained really well in Romans 13:13 on the screen behind me. Let us behave, it's the same Greek word for walk. Let us behave properly as in the day. Not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Walking is how I live my life. In your notes, number one, walking by the Spirit means to continually live my life by the power and direction of the Holy Spirit. Walking by the Spirit means to continually live my life by the power and direction of the Holy Spirit. Put another way, number two, to walk by the Spirit is to continually surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit in my thoughts, words, and actions. To walk by the Spirit is to continually surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit in my thoughts, words, and actions. The Holy Spirit lives inside my heart. If you are born again, the Holy Spirit lives inside your heart. And He is there to clean out the dirt in my heart and make me more like Jesus. He is there to give me the guidance and the power to live a victorious Christian life. The Holy Spirit is in my heart to give me the guidance and the power to live a victorious Christian life. Put another way, number three in your notes, to walk by the Spirit means I cooperate with the Holy Spirit as He leads, guides, and transforms me. To walk by the Spirit means I cooperate with the Holy Spirit as He leads, guides, and transforms me. We cannot live a holy life in our own strength. Amen? Amen. We cannot live a holy life in our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit. If I walk by the Spirit, I am following Christ with the power and direction the Holy Spirit gives me. How many of you have heard this saying before? We need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You've heard people talk about that. We need to follow the in your life, you need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. When people say that, Christians often get discouraged because they feel that they cannot recognize the Holy Spirit's leading in their life. We Christians sometimes make it so difficult for people. You might hear someone say something like this: I was driving down the street and the Holy Spirit said, go into that store. And I did it and this happened and wow, it was great. Or you might hear someone say something like this: I was sitting at my home and the Holy Spirit said, call Joe. And I called Joe and it was great. And what happens is most Christians will listen to that and will say, wow, that never happened to me. I can't recognize that. I don't hear the Holy Spirit. I don't understand when the Holy Spirit is leading me to do this or that. And most Christians, or many Christians, will become discouraged about the whole idea. Will become discouraged about the whole thing because they don't think they can do it. The preacher says, follow the Holy Spirit, and many Christians will go, I've tried, but I can't hear Him. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way? I am not saying that the Holy Spirit doesn't lead people that way. Read the book of Acts and you will see that the Holy Spirit clearly does lead people that way. But what I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Following the Holy Spirit doesn't have to be mysterious. Following the Holy Spirit doesn't have to be this elusive, complicated concept. Following the Holy Spirit is not for super Christians. Following the Holy Spirit is for everyone. And following the Holy Spirit can be a crystal clear experience. What do I mean? In your notes, the Holy Spirit wrote the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Spirit wrote the Holy Scriptures. Number two, the Holy Scriptures perfectly reveal the will of God. The Holy Scriptures perfectly reveal the will of God. And finally, number three, if you drench yourself daily in the Holy Scriptures, hiding them in your heart, you will be equipped to recognize the Holy Spirit's direction. Equipped is the blank up here. You might have the blank recognize. Either way, that's the sentence. If you drench yourself daily in the Holy Scriptures, hiding them in your heart, you will be equipped to recognize the Holy Spirit's direction. This very passage is a great example of what I am talking about. Verse 16 says, walk by the Spirit. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? What does that look like? In verses 19 through 23, he says what walking by the Spirit is not and what walking by the Spirit is. Look at it again, verses 19 through 23. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. This passage shows us what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in your life. This passage reveals the direction that the Holy Spirit is leading you into. Verses 19 through 23 are a great gift to the church. Walking by the Spirit does not have to be a mysterious concept that you can't understand. It doesn't have to be a mystery. God has revealed it to us in His Word. Verses 19 through 23 gives us the specifics of walking by the Spirit. What the Holy Spirit is leading me to do is very simple: to forsake the things listed in verse 19 through 21 and to embrace the things listed in verses 22 and 23. Number four in your notes. I walk by the Spirit by forsaking the corrupt things in verses 19 through 21 and embracing the beautiful things in verses 22 and 23. Relying on the power of the Holy Spirit in each specific situation in life. I hope that that number four is very helpful to you. I walk by the Spirit by forsaking the corrupt things in verses 19 through 21 and embracing the beautiful things in verses 22 and 23, relying on the power of the Holy Spirit in each specific situation in my life. The whole Bible is the same way, brothers and sisters. This is one reason God gave us the Holy Scriptures, so that we would know the Holy Spirit's agenda and we would know the Holy Spirit's direction and we could recognize His leading in our life. The Bible is the key. Look at verse 16 again in our text today. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. If we walk by the Spirit, we will not carry out the desire of the flesh. The flesh is my human nature corrupted by sin. The flesh is my corrupted human nature. If I walk by the Spirit, I will not carry out my sinful desires. Again, Paul gives us the specifics in verses 19 through 21 of sinful desires. What are sinful desires? We don't have to guess. They're listed in verses 19 through 21. These things and many other things are the desires of the flesh. Paul says, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out these things. The Greek word carry out is a really interesting one. It is the word telao. Telao, it means to finish or complete something. To fulfill. Probably the most famous verse in all the Bible for this Greek word telao is John 19:30. Behind me on the screen. Therefore, when Jesus had finished the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished, is tetelestai. It's an expanded form of the root word telao. God's desire was that Jesus paid for our sins. And Jesus carried out God's desire on the cross. He carried it out. Paul uses this Greek word in 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. God's desire was for Paul to serve him by spreading the gospel, and Paul carried that out. He did it. He carried out God's desire. He fulfilled it. Galatians 5:16, Paul says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. The flesh, the desire of the flesh, is sexual immorality, impurity, anger, selfishness, and so on. Those are the desires of the flesh. But if I walk by the Spirit, if I follow the Holy Spirit, if I am following the Holy Spirit, I will not carry out the desires. I will not fulfill those desires. I will not follow through with them. I will not follow through with them. I will instead turn from them. Why can Paul say, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh? Remember, walking by the Spirit is following the Holy Spirit. If I follow the Holy Spirit, I will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Why can Paul say that? Pretty confident statement. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 is the answer. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. The Greek word opposition is the word anti-kemai. Anti-kemai. Can you hear anti in there? Anti-kemai. It means adversary or opponent. We cannot follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and carry out the desires of the sinful nature at the same time because they oppose each other. In your notes, the sin nature is against what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Holy Spirit is against what the sin nature wants. As you know, it's football season. And as you know, I am a football fan. And as you know, my favorite team is the 49ers. And as hopefully you know, the 49ers are doing incredibly well. I am very happy as a 49er fan. And I have followed, Krista is as well. And I have followed the 49ers for years. And Krista will say amen to this. We have stunk for years. And now we're great. And I'm having a wonderful time. But I had a very interesting development happen this year. I became a Bronco fan. And you know why. If you watch football, you know why I became a Bronco fan. All year, I rooted for the Broncos because of my brother and your brother, Tim Tebow. I rooted for the Broncos at least as zealously as I rooted for the Niners. And the 49ers made it into the playoffs, but the Broncos also made it into the playoffs. And I begin to get a little nervous. Because the 49ers are NFC and the Broncos are AFC. And if the 49ers progressed as I was rooting for, and if the Broncos progressed as I was rooting for, come Super Bowl Sunday, I would have a problem. Because the 49ers would be playing the Broncos. Now, all year, I could root for the 49ers and root for the Broncos. All year, root for the 49ers, root for the Broncos. Every single Sunday, root for the 49ers, root for the Broncos. But on Super Bowl Sunday, if I had gotten my wish, I could not do both. Because on Super Bowl Sunday, now I didn't get my wish, the Broncos were eliminated, unfortunately. 49ers will advance today, praise the Lord. But if you're a Giants fan, you're dismissed. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Where was I? No. On Super Bowl Sunday, I would have to choose the 49ers or the Broncos because on Super Bowl Sunday, for the first time all year, the 49ers and the Broncos would be opponents. And you can't root for the same. I would have to choose one or the other. The flesh and the spirit are opponents. The flesh and the spirit are opponents. Look in your notes. Number 6. If you are walking by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of sin because the sinful nature and the Holy Spirit lead you in opposite directions. That's why Paul can say that. If you are walking by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of sin because the sinful nature and the Holy Spirit lead you in opposite directions. Look at verse 17 again. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Number 7 in your notes. The Holy Spirit will always lead you away from sin. The Holy Spirit will always lead you away from sin. So, logically, number 8, If you are following the direction of the Holy Spirit, you will be going in the opposite direction of sin. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit's leading me this way. Righteousness, holiness, cleanliness, purity. He is leading me this way always. So if I am walking by the Spirit, if I'm surrendering, if I'm cooperating, if I'm following His leading, sin is that way. The Holy Spirit will always lead you away from sin. Everybody wants to get closer to Christ. Clearly not everybody. But if I were to go around this room, if we were to take a poll, you're going to work for Gallup, right, Brother Ashiel? You're working for Gallup? All right, if Brother Ashiel were to take a poll in this room only and said, how many of you want to get closer to Christ? The results of that poll would probably be 100%. Everybody wants to get closer to Christ. But there are so many people in the world, and perhaps some of you in this room, that want to get closer to Christ, but you also have chosen to continue to carry out the desires of the flesh. Those are opposite directions. The sin nature leads you away from Christ. Christ leads you away from sin. They are opponents. They are opposite directions. You cannot go east and west. You must choose. So my question to you is, what choice have you made? What choice have you made? Are you choosing Christ? Or are you choosing sin? You cannot choose both. Number 9. The way to get closer to Christ is to forsake the pollution, verses 19 through 21, and embrace the beauty of verses 20 through 23. You cannot remain neutral. In life, you are either going to be dominated by sin or you will be directed by Christ. Now, the bad news is, in your own strength, sin will win. In your own strength, left to yourself, sin will win. Which is reason number 772 why Christianity is the only true path. If you find a religion that says, here are the rules, live by these, that system is doomed to failure. Left to yourself, sin will win. But there is good news. There is good news. Look with me at verse 18. Actually, let's do 17 one more time. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Here we come to the purpose Paul wrote the book of Galatians. Rules and laws do not have the power to make us good people. And we do not have the power to keep them, because we are corrupted from within. Paul is writing to the church at Galatia. That's the city. He's writing to the church at Galatia. And there are certain people, the reason he's writing the book is there are certain people that were teaching the Christians at Galatia that they had to keep the law of Moses. People had come in and were poisoning the church with false teaching. You're Christians, great, but you have to keep the law of Moses. Paul writes the book of Galatians as a beautiful gift to the church, to teach them and to teach us that we are saved by faith alone, not by keeping the law. The good news is, if you have the Spirit of God in your heart, you do not need the law. The law of God is written in your heart. We, as Christians, do not have to be dominated by sinful desires. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to live in victory. No law, no book, no seminar, no program, nothing can save you from your sin nature. Only Christ. Only Christ can deliver you from the power of sin. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to live a godly life. So I have two questions for you that are here today. Number one, are you born again? Are you born again? Does the Holy Spirit live in your heart? If you have not come to the point where you've admitted that you are a sinner, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe, who died on the cross to save our sins, you've not come to the point where you've admitted you're a sinner, made a decision to forsake sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit does not live in your heart and sin will destroy you. You have no chance. But if the Holy Spirit is in your heart, Paul says, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of God lives inside your heart, you have eternal life. Eternal life now, which means I have victory over sin, and eternal life later, which means ultimately we'll live forever with God. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ, please come and talk to one of the elders after church. Please come and talk to one of the elders after church. You're here today and you say, okay, I know I need that, but I'm just too sinful. I need to clean up my life first. It will never happen. Come up here and talk to us and let Jesus clean you up from the inside out. Number two. If you've been coming to Trinity for a while, you've been waiting for this moment. So I will say it only one time. This is a record I do not plan to keep. Keep your finger in Galatians and join me in Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." We looked at this passage last week, and we will look at this passage many times because it is the mission of the church. We are all to be committed to leading people to Christ. and training them to be his followers. This is our command. This is our duty. These verses, Matthew 28:18-20, are the goal and the purpose of Trinity Baptist Church. It is the reason we exist. But we have a problem, don't we? So many people do not really want to talk about Christ. Have you noticed that? So many people do not want to talk about Christ. So many people do not believe in Christ. And some people, a very small percentage, but some people are actually offended by Christ. We have a problem. Now, there's all kinds of reasons for that. Scripture says that the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. We know that if someone has chosen to embrace sin and they love sin, they're not going to want to hear about Christ. But let me give you what I think is one reason. Again, there are many. This is not the one reason. But let me give you what I believe is one reason why people do not want to hear the gospel. And it's one little word, and it's the word hypocrisy. You and I both know that some Christians are simply not walking by the Spirit. Some Christians are living sinful lives. And when non-Christians see Christians carry out the desires of the sinful nature, when non-Christians see Christians carrying out the desires of the sinful nature, and when non-Christians cannot see the fruit of the Spirit in the lives of Christians, they find the gospel unbelievable. And that is so tragic. Some Christians are walking by the Spirit. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 5:16. Powerful verse on the screen behind me. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. What happens when the world sees our good works? They glorify God. Maybe you've been to Hawaii. Maybe you've been to Niagara Falls. Maybe you've been to the Grand Canyon. Maybe you've been to these wonders. They're called wonders of the world. I've had the privilege of seeing everything I just named. I've been to Hawaii, I've been to the Grand Canyon, I've been to Niagara Falls, I've been to an underwater national park. I've seen many beautiful things. I have literally been around the world, not nearly as much as some of you. You know what the most beautiful thing in God's creation is? More beautiful than Niagara Falls, more beautiful than the Grand Canyon, more beautiful than Hawaii, more beautiful than any natural wonder of the world, more beautiful than that is the transformed lives of Christian people. That is the first wonder of God's creation. When people see you and they know who you were and you come to know Jesus Christ and your life is transformed, it brings glory to God. When people see men be faithful husbands and fathers and women be godly mothers and men be good citizens and see Christians live lives of honesty and integrity, it brings glory to God. And it adorns the gospel. Let me show you. Look at Titus 2. Behind me. Titus 2:9 and 10. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything. to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith. Why? So that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. The Greek word adorn is really neat. It is the word cosmeo. Cosmeo. We get our English word cosmetic. The same word is used in the book of Revelation when it describes the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Cosmeo. Good behavior adorns the gospel. The lifestyles of Christian people make the gospel attractive. Is there anything more important than that? Is there anything more important than that? Brother and sister, we need the gospel to be credible. We need to win people to Jesus. We need our message to be believed for the sake of the ones who are lost and for the glory of God. We must live a godly life. To walk by the Spirit. If Christians would walk by the Spirit, overflowing with love, joy, peace, patience, and so on, it would adorn the gospel like a bride prepared for her husband, and God would be glorified. Trinity Baptist Church, walk by the Spirit. Will you pray with me, please? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you today confessing our sinfulness. Our lives have given the world an opportunity to doubt the gospel. And we pray that in this room, in this church, and around the world, we would truly be the light of the world. And non-Christian people would see our godly lives and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.